Let's imagine the not too distant future. You feel more in control of your photos than you ever have before. You look forward to the regular creative dates on your calendar. You're moving forward on that project that means so much to you. You are on fire with inspiration, and you are finally scrapbooking consistently. This is not a hypothetical, it's a real life possibility. And for the first time, I've created a workshop specifically focused on the problem of consistency. It's called Sparked, and I'm excited to share it with you for free. Visit simplescrapper.com/sparked to get access to the training and make this possibility your reality.
This is my story. This is my life. I love it. I've chosen this life for myself. And so for me, being in the photos, and it's not always easy, you know, I, like every other woman on the planet probably, and some men, just really struggle being in front of the camera. It's not always comfortable. I don't always like the way I look in photos, you know, but I do it anyway because I think it's so important.
Welcome to Scrapbook Your Way, the show that explores the breadth of ways to be a memory keeper today. I'm your host, Jennifer Wilson, owner of Simple Scrapper and author of The New Rules of Scrapbooking. This is episode 252. In this episode, I'm joined by Steph Grimes for an insightful deep dive on being a project-focused scrapbooker. Hey, Steph, welcome to Scrapbook Your Way.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here to talk to you today.
Me too. I've been following you on Instagram for a while, and I love seeing all the things you're doing in your memory keeping and in your life. But can you kick things off by sharing a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah. I currently live in Baltimore, Maryland with my husband, Sean, and our dog, Ruby. We both grew up in this area. We currently live about within 5 minutes of our parents, my husband's grandparents, siblings, aunts, cousins. We kind of all just live in the same neighborhood. Ruby is our 6-year-old, almost 7-year-old Vizsla, and she is actually a service dog for my husband. We have no children, and it's just the three of us.
Fun. I noticed that Ruby has her own Instagram account as well.
Ruby does have her own Instagram account. It is very inactive.
I tried to start one for my cats, but then it just got too hard. So
it's too hard. It's just too hard. Yes, I don't know how people manage multiple accounts. It's a challenge.
Yes, for sure. So I love to ask our guests what is exciting them right now, both inside their crafty lives as well as in everyday life. So what's exciting you right now?
Yeah. So outside scrapbooking, I am extremely excited about just our year ahead. We had a really slow year last year. We tend to travel a lot and go on all kinds of crazy adventures. But my youngest sister got married in August. And so there was just a lot of weddingness that happened last year. And so it was a slower year for us. So this year we are coming back hot.
Nice.
So we bought ourselves electric bikes for Christmas and are just really looking forward to getting outside more, spending more time outside, all kinds of things. We've got some travel on the calendar already. We've already traveled this year. We went to St. Louis over Martin Luther King weekend a couple of weeks ago. And so it's already kicking off, and I'm very excited about that. And then scrapbooking-wise, I think I'm just really excited about starting a new year of documenting. I always really love the excitement of starting again, is how I'll say that. Mm-hmm. So I'm not starting over, but starting again, right, is how do I want to tell my stories this year? What projects am I going to participate in? What things can I let go? And I'm feeling just jazzed about that.
Well, that very much leads into the topic of our conversation today. I'm excited to like really get into the weeds with you about how you think about projects and how you approach them. Before we get there, though, I would love to know if there's a story on your memory keeping bucket list. So one thing that you would like to document, but you haven't yet.
Yes, there is. So my husband and I have a really complicated an interesting story. So we actually met when we were in middle school for the very first time. A friend at church, he came to church with him. And that guy and I had been friends since birth, really. Our moms were pregnant at the same time. And so we grew up together. And so I met this guy, and he was just, you know, I still remember him walking in the room for the first time and just being new and interesting. And we were friends all through middle school, through high school, and just never really got together. And then he met a guy in college who I ended up marrying. And he unfortunately passed away in 2007. And so we were only married for a few years. And then my current husband, Sean, and I got married in 2010. And so we have this really interesting beginning, but I was sort of in a scrapbooking hiatus after my husband passed away. And so it's about 6 years of no stories being documented in that way. And so I really want to go back at some point and try to fill in those details and write that story down, because it just kind of lives in us and in the folks that we know who, you know, sort of lived it with us. But I want to see it on a paper.
Yes, for sure. Wow. That's so interesting. As you said, like, it's a very non-traditional way to get together. But yes. I'm so glad that you found your way to each other after all that time, and obviously hardship as well.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of this, he's my person, right? Mm-hmm. It's not to say my first husband wasn't also a person and my person. But I think this was sort of always the master plan, somebody's master plan.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Oh, I can't wait to see how you do that. That sounds like a meaningful and a joy-filled project. So as we've already been discussing, I get the sense that you are a very project-focused scrapbooker. I don't see a lot of, like, that you're doing one-off layouts that might go somewhere sometime. Why does this approach work well for you?
Yeah, so you are spot on. I am definitely a project-focused scrapbooker. I tend to scrap, participating in projects like Week in the Life or December Daily, really just encouraged me to look at my life in an interesting way, and definitely in a way that was different from how I used to scrapbook, right? I started scrapbooking in the early 2000s. So it was very much, you know, sort of the creative memories days, mm-hmm. and those kinds of things. And so I came at it as a very traditional, you know, we scrapbook this event, and then we go on and we have a birthday or we have Christmas, and it gets one or two pages, you know, in this sort of yearbook annual sort of thing. And then after I took that hiatus, I kind of came back and everything had changed.
Yes.
And so I rediscovered Becky Higgins, who I had always loved, you know, her like page sketches. I just were a dream come true. I think I had every book that she ever wrote, her handwriting book, and, you know, how to do creative lettering. And that was so cool. I was never very good at it, but I admired that. And so she had Project Life by the time I came back in around 2012, I think was the first time I purchased a Project Life kit. And that was back when she sold it as a whole box. You got all the cards, you got the page protector, you got the album. And so that landscape was just really different. And so I think Becky Higgins and Project Life, and I sort of started that in 2012 and didn't make it very far, and picked it back up in 2013 when Elise Kripe had created a Project Life kit.
Yes,
I think it was the Seafoam kit, if I remember correctly, and I was hooked. And so that was how I documented for a long time. And being a longtime fan of Allie's, Allie Edwards, I just jumped in, you know. And so for all the community projects that she's had going on, I participated really loosely for a while. So December Daily, I had a couple of years where I sort of participated in the way of like taking photos and maybe putting them on Instagram or just saving them and sort of writing stories, you know, on my computer without putting them into, they never made it into an album. And so I like that they have a definitive beginning and end, right? It's manageable, it's achievable. I like a sense of accomplishment when I'm scrapbooking. I am 1,000% a finisher. And I like that I can finish those. It doesn't feel like this sort of ongoing thing where I could create layouts for every day of my life for the rest of my life, right? That doesn't have an ending to it. And so, yeah, I really appreciate that they've invited me to tell stories through different lenses, right? So for a week in the life, and as an example, I get a really deep dive into what our life looks like right now. And I really appreciate that. Every time I go back and look at those albums, I'm like, wow, my life has changed so much. And I did my first album. I think this year will be my 8th or 9th year of doing Week in the Life. And then December Daily really is an opportunity for me to go deep and wide on the holiday stories. Something I did in my December Daily this past December was looking at what's happening currently and how can I relate that to the past, right? Mm. So telling a story about taking my nephews to the train garden that I grew up going to, that my dad would take me to, because that's when my mom was, you know, working on Christmas stuff for us. And so that was a chance for him to take us out of the house and do something with us. And so, you know, sort of marrying those stories, I don't know that I would ever think to do that on a 12 by 12 page, or something smaller where I feel like I'm constrained to that size and space. You know, projects are sort of they make me feel like I'm making progress.
I love that. I love that idea. And I think for those of our listeners who do struggle to acquire that feeling, maybe there's a perspective change that's needed. And how can you start more specific projects or turn the things that you are currently doing into more of a project?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for this year, I even considered maybe I'll only do Week in the Life. Maybe I don't need to document our monthly stories and sort of the whole year as a whole. Maybe I'll just do Week in the Life. I've changed my mind about that. But, you know, if you just did that project every year, it's a huge project. But wow, what a story you'd be able to tell over time.
Well, that's what I was curious about is, do you think Week in the Life satisfies some of those same urges that you had when you started traditional project life way back when? And comparing it to the other ways that you've documented everyday life. Because it does capture so much in just one week. But it's also not everything. So it's...
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I go hard for that project. you know, my Week in the Life albums typically are real chunky and bulging at the seams, right? And I can't get enough of this is what it looks like. And, you know, there's a lot of conversation in the community. I feel like anytime these community projects pop up, I see it a lot around both of those, Week in the Life, December Daily, right? Of this, like, I don't have kids. My life is boring. It's not interesting. I've never had kids. It's just the three of us. And so I look at that as an opportunity to get really, like, I've never felt that my story wasn't important to share because it's such a seemingly small story, right? Or what others might perceive as a small life. I feel like my life is larger than I can handle a lot of times. And so I really like the opportunity to sort of dig in and look at those details. And again, when I first started Project Life, what I loved about it was moving from event-based storytelling to the everyday storytelling. And I mean, that's exactly what Week in the Life is, as you said, in like a really big, detailed way. I go overboard with it. I really should pare back a little bit. I can't stop myself.
Where do you... Or do you incorporate some of those more event-based things? We're going to get to travel next, but I'm curious about, birthdays, anniversaries, you know, other holidays. Yeah. If, you know, say, like, for example, if Easter is important to your family, how do you capture those?
Yeah, that's a great question. I, I think we are a little untraditional in that most holidays are not celebrated around here. My husband really struggles with his birthday. I know quite a few people that are that way. And so mm-hmm. that's not really ever a big deal. Anniversaries, same. You know, we're just not, I think the way that we look at it is very much that we are grateful to have our relationship and we celebrate that every day. So yes, it doesn't have to just fall on our wedding anniversary. We passed our 10-year anniversary in 2020, and we were supposed to go to Hawaii, which of course did not happen, as our anniversary is in August. I also turned 40 in 2020. So two really big life events. And I put them in my monthly project life that I was doing at that time. So, you know, I saved some cards that my nieces made me and left me on the door, you know, because we were still, my birthday's in March. So it was right at the beginning of the pandemic. And so they had like come and decorated my door and left a gift and, you know, made cards and things like that. So of course we took photos of that and sort of talked about that that way. But yeah, it all just kind of goes into, other than Christmas, right? December, I go all out for Christmas. That's my holiday. That's my jam. I did an album this past fall, using Allie Edwards, Halloween kits. I just could not resist how cute they were. And we, again, don't do much for Halloween usually, but I thought, oh, if I pull together stories from over the years, that would make an album. And I ended up with two albums. I did an alphabetical, so a Halloween through the years, the ABC edition. So it's alphabetical order. And I pulled things for each letter that just were Halloween-y or fall-ish, and kind of documented my nieces and nephews and, you know, just all of that stuff. So it came together, and I had even more content than I thought I would. But yeah, other than that, it just goes into whatever I'm doing for my sort of yearly documentation at that point.
Sure, sure. I love this distinction between thinking about how you live your life and how you feel about those types of milestones of various scales, and then having your memory keeping reflect that. Because I think, you know, particularly for those like you who grew up in the more traditional creative memory style, like those were the things you scrapbooked. But when, but that's not even necessarily what even life looks like these days. You know, particularly I think the pandemic changed things. We're all about, okay, we're going to celebrate this at a different time or a different way. Things are so different today. And I love how we have products and formats that can support that, and also be more doable, as we're talking about today, because there are specific projects that have a beginning and an end.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, we've always been a family. So for Christmas, right, my dad works in a steel mill. And so there have been Christmas days where he's had to work in the morning, right? Mm-hmm. And so growing up, it was just very much we had Christmas and Santa came to our house whenever it worked for my parents' schedule. Yeah. And it still works that way. He now lives in Ohio most of the year and most of the time. And works there. And so our Christmas sometimes happens in the middle of January, like it did in 2022, because everybody got COVID before Christmas. So, you know, if I was just doing an annual album or any, I like the flexibility of like everything can happen when it happens. Mm-hmm. And I've got a place to put that story and not forcing a fit with something that just doesn't fit my life.
Yes, yes. So let's dive more into travel. Obviously, you're traveling a lot with your husband. I do sense that Ruby sometimes joins in the fun when you're doing a road trip.
Yes, Ruby often joins in the fun.
How do you like to document your adventures? I noticed that one trip you did that you scrapbooked last year had two full 9x12 albums.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes. So I love to travel, if you haven't picked up on that yet. Neither one of us has traveled much overseas. And so a few years ago, we were working for a nonprofit organization that we were essentially running and managing as sort of second and third in command at that organization. And so it was just real intense for the first few years of starting that up and, you know, getting funding. And, you know, it was just a lot of work. And so the first 2-3 years we worked there, we did not take a break. And then we were like, we need a big break. and so that would have been 2014. And we decided, let's just get in our Jeep and we will drive wherever we want to go. We took 3 weeks off of work. And that was our first cross-country trip. And so that sort of long range road trip, cross country road trips, those are really our favorite way to travel. We got Ruby in 2017, and right off the bat, she was traveling with us. I think our first trip with her was a road trip to Atlanta for a conference we were presenting at. And because she's a service dog for my husband, she goes with us. And you know, my sister has a dog that gets car sick. I never even thought about that as a possibility. she makes our adventures better. She loves road trips as much as we do. She loves the outdoors. She's very rewarded and fulfilled by her work. And so she doesn't mind, you know, oh, okay, we went on a hike this morning, but this afternoon we have to like go work either when we're going to a restaurant or when we're going to present somewhere or whatever. Travel albums are my favorite thing. My entire list of things to work on this year are travel albums from the past few years. I think going back to like 2019. My first project I started this year is actually a travel album from a trip to Disney and Universal that we took in 2022 with some friends. I keep a track of as much as possible when we're traveling. I use the Day One app on my phone and my computer and my iPad. So I try to sort of set up ahead of time a template for what kind of details do I want to, what do I think is going to happen on this trip? How do I want to capture that? So I've done this in a variety of ways. Sometimes I do it hourly and then I set an alarm on my phone for every hour to go off. And sort of then at that moment, the alarm goes off. I just sort of pause and write down sort of what's happening in that moment. That ends up being more of like a day in the life sort of format. I have a method I call on the threes. And so I set a timer for every 3 hours on my phone. So like 6 a.m., 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., et cetera. And then I write down what's happening when that alarm goes off. And it's rough, right? Sometimes I'm about to get on a ride at Disney World. And so that alarm gets stalled for 20 minutes. So it's close enough. Hybrid, right? So doing like a morning, afternoon, evening story alongside a currently list with sort of observations and overheard and gratitude and, you know, sort of all of these journaling techniques and ways of telling that story I've picked up along the way. I'm getting ready to document our St. Louis trip. And so I've been sort of catching up. I didn't do as much journaling on that weekend a couple of weeks ago because we were driving most of it. And so I'm having to go back. And so the way I'm doing that is like, what are the travel highlights? We got caught in a snowstorm. So like, that's got to go in there, of course. What are the food highlights? What are the activity highlights? And then what are the feelings highlights? Like what were, you know, what sort of stood out? And so, yeah, I really try to get as much down as I can in day one while I'm traveling, because then when I sit, whenever I finally have time to get to that project, even if it's years later, I still have a good amount of information that can help guide that journaling. It makes it so much easier if I do it in the moment than trying to catch up on it later.
Yes. I have a couple questions for you.
Please.
First off, I'm assuming you also are using day one during Week in the Life. And does that documentation look even more extensive? Like, do you have timers every 20 minutes or?
So it depends on how I'm telling the story. I don't always do, for Week in the Life, I don't always do an hourly approach.
Okay.
But if I do, yes, then I have an alarm go off every hour for 7 days. Between the hours of like, probably between like 9 and 9.
Sure.
But then, I set up the templates ahead of time for Week in the Life and I just copy and paste every day. So I have a template in day one that just is like, this is what I want to document, because I also include like gratitude, or sometimes I do a lens for the day, right? Like around here, or those kinds of things where I'm using a story prompt than like what's happening every hour. Gratitude is always part of that, what we're eating. I document that. So breakfast, lunch, and dinner kind of thing go in there. So yeah, day one is, it's easy to set up templates, and I like having that work done ahead of time. I don't have to think about it every day.
Yes, yes. So going back to the travel, in terms of how much are you thinking ahead about how you will document it and kind of setting up some of those prompts in the same way you would with Week in the Life? Or are most of these having been in the past, you just noted as much as you could, and now as you're thinking about the project, you're figuring out how to organize that information?
Yeah, for me, those two things go hand in hand. So part of how I experience travel is how I'm going to tell that story later and how I'm going to document it. So for example, I'm working on this, what I'm calling a magical adventure album, because it was during Christmas time. We went with friends for the first time to Disney World and to Universal to go do all the Harry Potter stuff for the first time. And so for that, I made albums for everybody in our group. We're mostly scrapbookers. And so I made 6x8 acrylic albums ahead of time. So when I'm sitting down now, I actually have changed my mind and I want to do it in a 10x8. And I'm realizing most of my photos that I've taken are sort of in that portrait orientation. And so I struggled making that decision because I was like, oh, I actually already documented the trip as if it was going in a 6x8, right? Like what I would consider my key or feature photos are all in that, you know, vertical orientation. And so that is part of how I go about experiencing it. And I'm thinking about that as I'm taking photos. I'm thinking about the details that I want to capture. And like, if I, you know, yeah, the every day, the every hour alarms, sometimes the like every 3 hour alarms, they get on my nerves, right? Depending on how long the trip is. And so there are times where I'll overlook those, but I always try to go back, even if it's at the end of the day, and put in like, what was the most important thing from the day that I want to, or the most special or the most memorable? Because I want to have that when I come back. One of the things that I put down in my notes here were just, my husband and I did a, before we were married, we hiked the Grand Canyon, went to Havasu Falls, which is beautiful and unreal. And it was this really special trip. It was before iPhones. So we lugged our big cameras around with us, which is unreal.
Yes, for sure. Wow.
When I realized that, I was like, oh my gosh, we took all these photos with our DSLRs. And, you know, we have all these photos of all this camera gear that we're carrying with us as we're hiking the Grand Canyon, you know, no small feat. So I have no words written down for that trip, none. And so 2 years ago, when Allie Edwards came out with the Unbound album, the one that's just open with the rings, I think I want to use that to tell that Grand Canyon story. I got to get it out of me. So I went back and just sort of recalled what I could. I have a pretty good memory, so I'm grateful for that. But I just wrote the stories from now. You know, this is what I know now that I wish I knew then. These are things that I didn't write down that I really wish I would have. These are photos I didn't take that are, you know, memories from that trip that I'll really love and cherish. So now that story is kind of like it lives somewhere instead of just in my head and in my heart, you know.
Do you think that was easier or harder than having all the notes that you do currently in day one?
That's a good question. I think it was, in some ways it was more freeing.
Yes.
Because I didn't have a story that I already had to tell you, like I could kind of craft it however I wanted to craft it. And I could organize it in a way that made sense to me. So in a lot of ways it was really exciting. But I really do like having that in the moment journaling. It's so different than what you would write even 2 days later. And there are lots of times that two album project that you're talking about was a Pacific Northwest road trip that we did in 2018. And there were things that I thought I remembered about it. And then I was reading my journaling. I was like, oh, that happened differently than I remember.
Yeah.
So it's always more accurate, right? It's always more. And if I do it well and I don't like burn out on it in the moment, then I have a really good, you know, that's exciting in a different way. I don't know. I don't know that one is easier or better than the other. They're just different.
Yeah. So last year you used a memory planner format for documenting everyday life. I'm curious what you liked and didn't like about it.
Yeah. So I tried Heidi Swapp's sort of stop the blur approach, her memory planner kit. I went all in. I mean, all in. I bought the albums the notebooks. They're not even albums. I mean, I bought the Hodor album. I bought the notebooks all ahead of time at the beginning of the year. For Christmas, I asked for an annual subscription to the to the kit. So my husband got that for me. I was just excited to try something new. Right. I had been doing some version of what we call Project Life or pocket scrapbooking for years at that point. I had switched to monthly in the 9x12. In 2022, I tried to do weekly in the 9x12, and I made it to about May and haven't done that the rest of that yet. So going into 2023, I was like, okay, I'm going to experiment and try something new. I just got really excited about seeing everybody trying that format. A group of friends were trying that format and they had done it in 2022. And I just loved it when I got to see it in person. And it ended up being a flop for me. So one thing I really loved about working in the memory planner format was using my stamps. I'm a big stamp fan. I am a big stamp collector. Stamping is actually how I got into scrapbooking. So my mom is a Stampin' Up! Demonstrator and signed up when I was like 20 years old. And so we started by making cards. And then that was my sort of gateway into scrapbooking. And so I come from that place of stamps. So I was really excited to be able to use my stamps and way more than what I do when I'm working in pockets. I think I got caught up in sort of how cute all the little interactive products are that Heidi designs.
They are very cute.
they're very cute. But when I sat down to work with them every month, I just felt frustrated. I think having been a pockets person for so long, it was just really hard for my brain to adapt to how do I get all of this content that I have, right? Because I'm a writer, I'm a journaler, I take a ton of photos. How do I minimize that down into these really tiny spaces that are adorable, yes, but not practical for me, it felt like. So I didn't really like the format. I really love large photos. I really missed those. I found some ways to include those as the year went on, but they're still just not big enough for me. I didn't like the pressure I felt to write about something that happened every single day. I felt very stuck in that sort of weekly format because that's how the notebooks that I bought all of this stuff ahead of time thinking like I'm totally into this.
Yeah,
And so I wanted to use the products I had without like buying more. So I could have gone to a less formatted notebook for sure. But I didn't because I had already had them in my stash. So I entered it because I felt bored of Project Life and that pocket style. And I obviously didn't keep up with it weekly in 2022. I thought that the memory keeping or the memory planner approach would be really simple and quick and easy so that I could focus on these other projects on my to-do list. But it just didn't really happen that way. I constantly felt like I had to reinvent the wheel. And new techniques, new interactives. Oh, that thing I did last week that I loved actually won't work this week because I have more words or fewer words or more pictures or fewer pictures. So it was really, I just really missed my pockets.
I think one of the topics that's come up on the show and in many conversations over the years is that scrapbookers are amazing at taking very simple concepts and making them incredibly complicated.
Yes. Yeah, that nail on the head. I mean, that feels totally accurate. Yeah, I couldn't find a way to simplify it. So I made it to the beginning of August so far. I do intend to go in and finish it. I already have started printing photos for the rest of August because, again, I'm a finisher. So I will go back and finish that. I will also go back and finish my 2022 pocket album. But yeah, it's not something I'm going to continue with. So I've canceled my subscription and I just have accepted that I am not a notebook person.
That's fair. That's fair. I tried it for the first quarter of 2023 and I gave myself, okay, try it for a quarter. If you don't want to continue, you don't have to. And I, like you, I did not. So
that was a good plan. That was a better plan than going all in.
I'm glad I did what I did though. And looking back through it, I enjoy it. Yes. I just don't want to make it again, I guess. So
I totally agree. Yeah. Looking back at it, I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, look what I did here. This is so cool. Oh, look at all the stamping I did on this page. Love it. But it's not something I want to do. I didn't enjoy it in the process.
Uh-huh. There's a, I also, to me, working in a bound book can create additional anxiety over messing up. Because then if you mess up, you have to cover it somehow. And it's, yeah, it just becomes a whole thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I had to redo like the first four pages of my December Daily album this past year, like at least two or three times. So I'm probably working in a bound album right now is not the not the best prescription for me.
So, okay, we know you're not going to use a memory planner this year. How will you be documenting everyday life in 2024?
Yeah, so I have decided to go back to pockets. probably not a surprise. But I'm trying a little bit of a new format. So I've done the sort of 12 by 12 design a sort of typical project life layouts. I did those for many years. And then I switched to monthly in the 9 by 12 albums, which I really love that too. Did weekly in the 9 by 12. And this year I'm actually going to try 6 by 8.
Ooh.
So I have a I really love the Citrus Twist Life Crafted albums. Mm-hmm. So when they came out with their 6 by 8 albums, I bought one just because I had to have one. I didn't have a project in mind for it. And it's perfect because now it's going to work for this. And I love that I'll be able to go back because I know I'll need more than one album, that I'll be able to go get those at any point in time that will match, versus, you know, buying something that's more of a printed one-off, you know, from, you know, Ali Edwards will often do albums for the different projects throughout the year. But I don't know how many albums I'll need. So I may not be able to get those later in the year. So I'm excited for that. The quality of those albums is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I am going to be using Ali's Stories by the Month kits each month. I love the sort of revamp of that subscription. So I've canceled all my other subscriptions and that's the one I'm sticking with. And I am just going to do a monthly approach, sort of pulling out the highlights from the month. Some of those I might also include other products. So like, I have all the story play kits from last year that I never used. So I might integrate those throughout the year of like, oh, hey, actually I'd like to do stories. Yeah, you know, I don't know. Some of them are so generic that they can just be built in throughout, right? Like little moments, right? We can do that anytime. Story kits. I have story kits, physical story kits for the last few years that have remained largely untouched. So I'm also looking for ways to sort of build those in. For my annual project or my sort of what I call my yearbook at this point, I'm going to do a 6x8 pocket album and working inside and outside the pockets and just do it my way. I had this sort of really interesting experience working on my December daily of like feeling like I was forcing a fit. And once I sort of let that go of like the pressure to use the pages that I made during the prep season, use all the products that I bought because I went totally overboard. I just loved this year's kit so much.
So that forcing a fit, that was because you were working in 10x8 for December Daily?
I was working in 10 by 8, but it was more not even about the size. It was more just forcing myself to do things that didn't feel good.
Okay.
Right? To stress about, you know, it's again, it's that making it more complicated than it has to be.
Yeah.
When I removed all those complications and all those quote unquote rules I was putting in place for myself of like, I have to use this page because I made it in November. Well, guess what? It doesn't work anymore. I don't feel excited about it anymore. And as soon as I let myself off the hook, then I was like, oh, this is me. This is, you know, I feel like I found myself in that project and my style and what I like. And so I'm just looking forward to like removing more of those rules and getting them out of the way so that I can just, if I want to stick things in pockets and call it a day, great.
Yes, yes.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's better than being stuck, you know, sort of with just that story and those photos and those memories living in my head or in day one where no one is accessing them. And it's on the page. Who cares what it looks like?
I'm curious if you've had a similar experience as what I just had. I was browsing through my December dailies. Well, in truth, I was actually browsing my blog pictures of December dailies, but I noticed in 2017.
It's easier that way.
I noticed in 2017 that I did a very straightforward 6x8 pocket page approach, and it's one of my favorite albums and probably the one that was finished first, like finished fastest, mm-hmm. like probably in January. Yeah. I think I maybe like tidied up a few things later in the year. And I'm like, why am I like, I love doing some of the other things, but why am I always yep. making it more complicated for myself versus yeah. doing the things that I know work. So yeah.
100%. Exact same experience. Yeah. I was just sitting there. I was like, no, this doesn't feel good. I don't feel good working on this. I'm not happy working on this. Then what's the point, right?
Yeah.
So I pretty much didn't work on it all throughout December, which is unlike me. I usually work on it not as I go, but like throughout the month. But yeah, I finished it and it is my favorite December daily album.
Oh, I love it. I love
it. My favorite.
Just yeah. for our listeners, especially if you're new to the show, we'll include links for everything that Steph has mentioned in mm-hmm. the show prior to this and continuing on in the show notes for the episode. So we'll find all the links on her Instagram, any sources that she has, and of course, any shopping links as well for specific products.
Enabler alert.
Yes, yes. I'm sorry. / not sorry. Okay, so you're doing 6x8 this year. I'm curious, have you gotten started yet? You said you're doing monthly and this is end of January.
I put something on the cover, on the inside cover.
Okay, okay.
One of the really pretty vellum cards from Allie's kit this year. I've got a couple things in the pockets. I have ideas. So as I'm writing things down in day one, because I got the story. I didn't cancel my story kit subscription until after the start story kit because mm-hmm. I always really like the beginning of the year. Again, it goes back to that sort of like excited to start again. And so I did get the start story kit physical products. And so I've got some story ideas. So as I'm going through day one, I'm kind of putting a note at the bottom that's like, hey, this might be a good place to use the start story kit nice. With this particular product in a kit. And sort of leaving those breadcrumbs for myself when I do finally sit down to do it. But then I jumped into, I mean, how I got into the Magical Adventure album was I had so much fun working on December Daily. When it came time to clean up my December Daily and put it all away, I was like, well, you know, that album happened or that project, that trip happened during Christmas. So I should just like leave the stuff out and start working on it. And I offered that same option to myself last year because it was right after, you know, we were the beginning of December last year. And in 2022, we were just coming home from that trip. So it was really fresh at the end of January. I might not even finished December Daily until like February in 2023. And I offered the same thing to myself of like, hey, do you want to work on that now? And it was a hard no. Like mm-hmm. it was a almost violent response from my body that was like, absolutely not. We are done. This was not a pleasant experience. Like we are finished with this. And this year when I like asked that same question, it was like, yeah, let's do it. And so I'm just sort of riding that wave. So I haven't gotten to the annual start yet. We'll see couple weeks.
I think one of my biggest curiosities will be how you feel about the 6x8 size versus 9x12 as you approach each month.
It has been a struggle. Yeah. Because, of course, now everyone's going back to the bigger sizes, right? Allie's gone back to doing 9x12. I saw Morgan Beal is doing a 12x12. You know, everyone's going back to these. And I was like, oh, maybe I should have gotten a 9x12 album. But I'm really wanting to use what I have.
Yes.
And I have this 6x8 album, and I'm just going to give it a go. I feel like it might help me. It might accomplish the thing I was trying to aim for last year, which was accomplishing the goal of focusing on other projects and getting those travel projects knocked out, because it's going to be really simple.
Yes.
And so if I don't overcomplicate it, and if I can keep it really simple, then it will work. I'm hopeful.
So,
but also a little nervous.
How many travel projects do you have on your agenda? And are those the only other projects that you are planning on? Other than, of course, Weekend to Life and December Daily.
Great question. Yeah, let me see. One. So I have seven specific travel projects on my list. Going back to 2019 when I went to Story Camp.
Does that feel doable for one
Actually,
year?
No. It doesn't feel doable for one year, probably. But if I could put a really – those have been on that list again since
– Yeah.
You know, since 2019. So if I could put a big dent in that, if I could get three done – I would think that would be really great.
Awesome.
I would feel really good about that.
Are there any other projects that you kind of were thinking about and then you have put a hard line in the sand and told yourself no?
Yeah. So I thought about working on the Story Play projects this year, right? I enjoyed those kits last year, even though I didn't use them. I like them. And so I was like, no, we're just not going to do this. I might get some digitals later in the year, but I didn't buy anything from the release last week. I will do Week in the Life and December Daily because those are my favorite projects. I'm sort of doing sort of doing One Little Word, but not really. I'm mostly journaling. Okay. I bought a Archer and Olive notebook,
nice.
To sort of keep track with that. I really just felt called to have a word this year. So yeah, trying to keep it light, but not really. It's not really any different than any other year.
I think when you're passionate about this hobby and when it becomes part of how you live, it's hard not to get excited about all the things.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I mean, I've heard Allie Edwards say a number of times, like, December Daily is just how I live in December, right? And that's just, yeah, this is how I live. I live thinking about, and not so much that it takes me out of the present moment, mm-hmm. but I feel like it enhances the present moment. Like mm-hmm. it makes me feel more present to pay attention to the details of what's happening and what's going on every day or during a specific event or a trip versus like pulling me out of that.
Yes, yes. I love that you highlighted that because I think sometimes there's, perspectives and opinions on mm-hmm. the way that we choose to document things. And I think I've become better at putting my camera down, but then also I'm trying to absorb more details to be able to, you know, add them to day one or incorporate later.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's a balance, right? I know some people are going to listen to this and go, what, you spend your vacation like with all these alarms going off all day long? It's like, yeah, but I ignore half of them by the time it's all said and done. And it's more just a reminder for me to take note of what's happening.
Yeah, to take that pause.
It's just kind of just going through it and then it's a blur.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if you had to like look through all your projects, what is the favorite project of them all and what makes it special?
Yeah, I had two actually in mind when I thought about this question. So one of them is what I already talked about was the Grand Canyon trip, right? Mm-hmm. Where it was like I had photos. I had great photos, but that was it. And I'm just so happy with that album. It is so special to me. It was a trip that my first husband had wanted to do with our group of friends, my current husband included, because we were all friends together.
Yeah.
And never got to do. And it was something he had lived in Phoenix for a while and lived in Arizona. And so it was just always something that was so special to him. The opening photo that I put into that album is actually one that he took. That's a big, awkward size photo. I don't even know what size it was printed. It was very bizarre, but it worked great in the 10 by 8 album.
Yes.
that we had hanging on our wall for a long time as this reminder of like, this is why we did this trip. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, sort of in his memory. It was also the first anniversary, my first wedding anniversary after he passed. And so it was just a really special trip. And I'm really happy that I now have it written down. And all of that story is in there. You know, it's not just segmented of like, this is why we took this trip. And, you know, it's being something sort of phony or I don't think I would have written it the same way in the moment.
No, so I think your perspective is so much deeper now.
So much deeper. So I'm really, and again, that sort of goes back to that journaling in the moment or journaling later, mm-hmm. not better one way or the other. But in that case, it really offered something and lent something to that project that was really special. And then the other one that I have are my honeymoon albums, plural, from my first marriage in 2003. So we took a 2-week cruise in the Mediterranean. It was the first time I was 23 years old. I had ever traveled anywhere really. Definitely the first time outside the United States. And it was life-changing. And that project ended up being 2 12 by 12 albums, very traditional, like 12 by 12 layout pages. I've got ephemera. I was using archival mist, if anybody remembers that from back in the day, to like include all of our pamphlets. I sprayed everything with archival mist before it went in so that it was preserved. And I think that's really funny when I had that memory come up. I wanted everything to look distressed and old looking, like some of the places that we visited. And so I spent months collecting papers and stamps and embellishments. And I had friends that were helping me find supplies when we went to scrapbooking conventions and scrapbook stores, because those were all still things back in the day.
That's kind of funny that you used a lot of like vintagey, old looking products, but used archival mist at the same time to make sure that your own stuff would not have never look old.
Yes, pretty much. It has held up great, by the way.
I bet. Yeah.
20 years later, it was still in really good condition. You know, I bought special alphabet stamps. I mean, it was all consuming. I think it was probably the first project that was ever really, I just really got into and had a specific vision for that I was able to completely execute on.
Nice.
And then my sister and I actually worked on a lot of it together, completing pages and working through things and coming up with design ideas. And it was so much fun. I really think that's where my love of large photos came from. You know, thinking back, that was really the first time that I, you know, made a photo that was most of the page. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so, you know, now my life, I live a totally different life now. And so I'm so grateful to have all those stories documented. It was really the trip of a lifetime. And the album, I feel like, really feels like that, reflects that, kind of embodies that.
Oh, lovely. Thank you for sharing those.
Yeah.
So the last two questions here are a little bit asking for advice for listeners. One of the things I've noticed is that you do a wonderful job of getting yourself in the photos. How do you think having lots of photos of you helps to support your memory keeping, no matter what project you're working on?
Yeah, I love that. I do try to get in the photos. As I said earlier, you know, it's really my husband and I and our dog. So, you know, if I had kids, it might be easier to leave myself out of more of the story, but this is my story. This is my life. I love it. I've chosen this life for myself. And so for me, being in the photos, and it's not always easy, you know, I, like every other woman on the planet probably, and some men, just really struggle being in front of the camera. It's not always comfortable. I don't always like the way I look in photos, you know, but I do it anyway, because I think it's so important. It's one way that I sort of ground myself in those experiences and remember those moments, almost like proof that I was there and I did the thing, whatever the thing was. Mm-hmm. The thing could have been snuggling on the couch with my niece, right? You know, I want to remember that. I don't want to have to rely on my memory to show that back to me, because it's not going to be the same. And so that's sort of just how I, you know, I don't always trust my memory. none of us should, knowing how memories are are recalled, and that they're sort of reinvented and regenerated every time we recall them. And so, of course, they're going to change over time. And my husband's grandmother, we lost her last year after a long battle with dementia. And so my husband also has memory loss issues due to a high school accident that he was in sports. And so that aspect of it is just really important, right? It's the sort of documenting what is real and true and happening in the moment. And so I think it does help me supports my memory keeping in that way, in that it just supports the memories. It helps me remember so that when I go to write it down or, sort of retell that story in a way, I have proof of what was happening.
And I think the value that you place on it helps you move past any awkwardness or insecurities about doing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My husband, a couple of years ago, he was looking through one of my albums and he just paused and he sort of looked at me real intensely. I was almost like, well, what did you see in there? And he just expressed in that moment of how important and helpful it is to him to look through those scrapbooks as a way to help him remember, because he doesn't remember, right? His memory is junk. And so we were having a conversation about, sort of crafty burnout and hobby burnout and at the beginning of the year. And he's like, you can't burn out on this hobby. it's too important to me. It's too important to us. So I really need you to do whatever you can that prevents the burnout.
Well, that means trying new things, experimenting, different sizes, whatever it takes to keep it interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have any tips that you use to get self-timer shots or remote shutter shots? So that it's not just a one-handed selfie.
Yes, we do plenty of one-handed selfies. No shame in that game. My husband's really good. He's got long arms. Nice. So he's really good at capturing a big group in a one-arm selfie. And sometimes those are fun. But I have an Apple Watch that's paired with my phone. So I can use my Apple Watch as a remote for my camera on my phone, which is super easy. I always have both of those things with me. So it's never a problem during Week in the Life. It's so nice. And then I have a bunch of different tripods that we use or phone stands. But I have one that I really like, which is a small GorillaPod tripod. And what makes that one unique is that the legs of it are all adjustable. And I don't mean just in height or sort of distance, but they bend. Mm-hmm. And so you can wrap it around a tree. You can wrap it around a fence post. And so we use that all the time. I think a tripod will go a long way toward helping you get in the photo. And during Week in the Life, and sometimes when we're traveling, I use all kinds of things as makeshift tripods and phone stands. I set my phone up in my Christmas tree. I've set my phone up on top of books, leaning against something in the, next to the kitchen sink, just wherever. My biggest thing is don't be afraid to get creative, have fun with it. Your phone is going to be fine for the most part. Be careful about, I'm not going to put it near the ocean or near the waves when we're, at the beach. I'm going to be a little mindful of that, but, it's just so small and easy. You can put it anywhere. So, get yourself a small tripod of some sort. There's a timer on the camera app, whatever camera app you use. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a timer in there. And just play with it. Just, that's the only way to practice is to try.
Yep. I'm curious, if you were to go on a Grand Canyon hike again, would you take the GorillaPod this time with your phone?
Oh, yeah. And it would be both of those things would be way less. I mean, I would have to have my phone with me anyway, yes, right? And the GorillaPod weighs next to nothing. Nice. So it would be a much, much less heavy pack this time.
I bet, yes. So kind of thinking even more big picture, what have you learned from bringing the intensity that you do to projects like Week in the Life and December Daily?
Yeah, that's good. I think the biggest lesson I've learned is that I love a good challenge. Mm. These projects are long. They are marathons and not sprints for sure. And they take a lot of effort and dedication to get to the finish line. And as a finisher, that can feel like pressure. So I feel like I've tried to learn to just embrace that, look, Week in the Life is a season. And December Daily is like two seasons, really, because all that excitement and enthusiasm starts in August,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And so we're getting all the way through fall. And then I don't finish it usually until at least the end of January or sometime in January. So, you know, we're into winter at that point. So I just, it's sort of mentally setting myself up for like, okay, I just know this is going to take a long time to do. I have learned to see my life in new ways through these projects. Like Week in the Life really offers a chance for me to zoom in and get really detailed on the small, seemingly insignificant day in and day out kind of things. But I also realize, and I think this is one of the things that they've taught me, is that nothing ever stays the same, right? Change is like the only constant. I know that sounds so cliche, but it's so true. Yes, every year I put up the same artificial tree and mostly the same ornaments. But most years there's something new to be added. And then I think about that all season long while I look at my tree and sit on the couch with it. So how I feel about sitting around my tree each year is different based on what's happening in our lives that month. You know, this year was a lot of joy and rest and ease. Last year was stressful and grief filled. You know, my husband's grandmother passed away in the middle of December. So, you know, it was completely different. And sure, the tree was the same, but everything in my life, all the context around that was different. My nieces decorated our tree this year. It's all I could think about every time I looked at it. It was like my niece, who I remember the minute she was born, was standing to put the star on top without needing to stand on a chair. I mean, like, she's 12 and she's huge.
Yes, yes. My 12-year-old is 5'7", so.
Yes, yeah. My 12-year-old niece is taller than I am, and I'm 5'8". So.
Oh, gosh.
We have crossed that. Yeah, yeah.
I'm only 5'4", so it definitely tall feels folks. Taller.
Yes, definitely.
Those 12-year-olds, what are we feeding them?
What are we feeding them? How did she get so big? How can I not hold her in my arms anymore?
Right? Yes.
It's just. Everything changes all the time. And so if we aren't paying attention, we're going to miss all the messy details that are so beautiful in our lives, right? I think probably more than anything, I think they've taught me to pay attention.
Yes, I love that. I think that's so true. One of the things that I want to underscore from when you were talking about December Daily is this idea that even though things look the same, they're actually not, because we're different. The context is different every single year. Because I've heard people talk about, and I probably have considered it myself, like, well, maybe I don't need to do it every year because maybe we do a lot of the same things, or we put up the same decorations. Our house doesn't look that different. But we as people enter into every season of the year with new perspectives and maybe more joy or less joy. And that so much is an important part of the story.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, my Week in the Life album used to be so much about work, right? Mm-hmm. Because that was most of my life. We ran this nonprofit, and it was a youth serving nonprofit, and those kids were our lives. Those kids were our kids, right? And I couldn't imagine a time when I wouldn't ever work there. And then we got let go in 2019. And so my life is totally different in that way. My work is totally different. You never know when something's going to change. You know, I didn't choose that change, but it happened. Mm-hmm. and it's very much part of the story. And it definitely colors how you see things. To me, I think I've also embraced that challenge of, okay, these are kind of the stories I've told about our tree in the past. How can I tell something different about it?
Yeah.
You know, or, and even if I told the same story every year, it would still be different. Because like you said, I'm different. Mm-hmm. We're different.
100%. Steph, this has been so incredible. I know our listeners are going to absolutely love this episode.
Oh, thank you.
Can you
Thanks
share?
For having me. Yeah. It's been so great.
Can you share where they can find you online? Anything else like you have new or coming up later this year?
Yeah. I am on Instagram and YouTube. Both of those places are sort of my home base for sharing creative projects. And I'm at Created by Steph on both of those. And Jen will have the links for that for sure. And after taking a much longer than intended break from sharing and creating content, I'm actually hoping to share lots more this year, especially videos. So I'm already thinking about that. And I just needed a break. And I'm really excited to be back. I posted my December daily walkthrough video last week. And that's just a rush of excitement. I'm excited to share in that way again.
Yes, I love it. Thank you so much. I can't wait to check out your December daily walkthrough and continue seeing what you create this year.
Great. Thank you so much. Yeah.
And to all of our listeners,
this has been wonderful.
Please remember that you have permission to scrapbook your way.